Welcome to our weekend service, everyone. My name is Albert, and I'm grateful to worship with you today. Before Tommy leads us some music, I want to provide a quick update for our outdoor, in-person, socially distanced services. I'm excited to let you know that we are going to add not one, but two outdoor, in-person, socially distanced services at Village Christian School. Our first weekly services will be at 4:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. starting on Saturday, September 19th. While God has opened this door for us, it also does come with some limitations. We want to be good stewards of this great opportunity. If you would like to come to this outdoor, in-person service, you must RSVP in advance online. This ensures that we will have both adequate parking available as well as space on the football field with social distancing. If we want this option to be a long-term success, it needs to be well managed, which is why you must RSVP in advance if you're interested in coming. The RSVP system will be available this Sunday, September 13th, at 7:30 p.m. for the first two services, and weekly on Sundays at the same time of 7:30 p.m. for future services. You can go to our webpage listed below to RSVP and find further information. We will take RSVPs on a first-come, first-served basis. Depending on interest, we may reach max capacity for the services due to space and parking limits. While we would like for as many people to attend who would like to do so, we may not be able to accommodate everyone this first weekend, depending on the level of interest. It is not an option for us at this time to add third service time at Village. If there are a large number of RSVP requests that we cannot accommodate, we will then need to figure out an additional future plan. Also, if you RSVP and receive an email confirming your RSVP, that means we should have a parking spot on campus available for you. We need you to park only in the designated Village Christian School parking lots and spaces. We will have volunteers and staff ready to welcome you and guide you to park accordingly. We will also provide the time in your RSVP email when you can start to arrive. To make this work long-term, we cannot park in the neighborhood streets. This shouldn't be a problem because if you have a confirmed RSVP, this also means we should have a parking spot available for you. To also make this work long-term, we must respect the neighbors by not parking in their neighborhood. And of course, we will also continue to offer our weekend services online, so we invite you to join us every week for worship, whether online at home or with one of our in-person socially distanced life groups meeting outdoors in the area or this new outdoor option at Village. Please refer to our webpage for any further important information, including safety guidelines for our outdoor services. Thank you, and special thanks to Village Christian School.
For a thousand, here we go.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
My gracious
Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Jesus,
the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and help and peace.
All right, sing His praise.
Oh, sing His praise. Oh, sing the triumphs of His grace. Sing His praise. Sing it loud. Sing His praise. Oh, sing the honors of His name. Can make a foul as clean, His blood avails for me.
Sing His praise.
Oh, sing. the triumphs of His grace. Sing His praise. Sing it loud. Sing His praise, His glorious praise. Sing the honor of His name. Sing His praise. Oh, sing it loud. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
Unresting,
unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, no wanting, no wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love.
All right, sing. Who can compare?
Oh, who can compare? Who else can stand? Immortal, invisible, God only wise, thy great name we praise. Who can? Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hiding thee.
Oh, who can compare? Good morning, everybody, Christian Assembly family. What an honor it is to worship with you today. Though we are apart geographically, we are together in spirit today. And I've just been praying that we can have just a renewed sense of wonder and awe and reverence as we worship God today. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God can guide us and speak to us in fresh ways as we are a people that reverence Him. So let's do that, and before we start singing, I'm just going to play for a minute. Maybe you would even bow your heads and in prayer and just live in the wonder of who He is for a minute. Thank you. here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing with me, wait.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, Lord, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is,
boy, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Declare it over your life.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Even when I don't see it.
Even when I don't see it, you're moving. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Never stop. Way make a miracle worker. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, sing, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Way maker, oh, we're singing, yeah.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. That is who you are.
It's what we believe, Lord.
That is who you are. That is who you're so good. That is who you are. That is who you are. You're my hope. You're my strength. You're my peace. In the stormy sea, you're my light, my very source, my guiding light. Wherever I may go, you're my hope.
stormy sea, you're my life, my very source, my guiding light, wherever I may go.
You're what my heart,
you're what my heart is longing for. You're heart is longing for.
Oh, tell him, say,
you're what my heart is longing for. You're what my heart is longing for.
Just sing with me.
This is my desire, to honor you, and Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all that I adore is in you.
Lord, I give you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. And Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
I live
for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
It's been really great to worship with you. Thank you to Tommy and the team for leading us. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this time we've had in worship. Thank you for allowing us your move of your Spirit, even in our homes or on our devices, wherever we might be watching this service, Lord. Lord, specifically today, we want to pray for unity in the church. You prayed, Lord, when you were here on earth, that we would be one, even as you and the Father are one. And so we pray for that unity amongst our church family, amongst our community, amongst our city, Lord. We just pray for a greater sense of unity to be poured out amongst us, Lord. Lord, we also pray for a divine moment of worship, a true sense of worship, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, whether we worship you online, whether we worship you in homes, or whether we worship you in our outdoor socially distanced services. Lord, wherever we might be worshiping, may we get a sense of your Spirit that is with us and we be true worshipers, Lord. And finally, Lord, we ask that you would help us to apply the message that we are about to hear in our lives and in our hearts, Lord. We pray that our hearts would be good and fertile soil for your word, and that when it lands on it, it might produce fruit tenfold, Father God. And so we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus today. Amen. We want to thank you again for worshiping with us. And I want to say welcome to any visitors or guests that might be checking out our services. We're just so grateful that you're with us. Today, we have the opportunity to resume in our teaching series, Life with Jesus, which we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. So we really hope that blesses you today. We also want to remind you that our outdoor in-person services are going to be starting soon on September 19th. Last week, we shared with you that these services will be starting at Village Christian School, and so we're excited to see many of you. We've dedicated a webpage to all of your questions that you might have about this service, and including how to RSVP, where to park, and all their good information that you're going to need for this. You can visit the webpage that's listed below, and it'll guide you to some more information. Of course, though, we will continue to have these online services for anybody who cannot attend or who don't feel comfortable attending in person just yet. Be rest assured that you can always tune in online and catch our services that way as well. And finally, I just want to thank you as you continue in your giving and your generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app, or you can also visit our website. Lots of great information on our website, but specifically for giving, you can click on the Give tab and you can find your way that way as well. Again, want to thank you for your generosity. Want to thank you for being with us today. And at this time, we're going to join Tom with the teaching for today.
Hey, welcome everybody. Whether you are just kicking the tires on faith with Jesus or whether you are completely committed to Christ, I am so glad that you have decided to join us this weekend. And I've been praying for our time together, and I've been praying for you. I'm so grateful for you. Well, prior to pressing pause for the last 2 weeks, we had just concluded the opening part of the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitudes of Jesus. And these are the congratulations statements. You are the blessed one statements. Well, this weekend, we are continuing on in our series, Life with Jesus, talking about the Sermon on the Mount. But we're going to do so out of order by looking at what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about something that is called fasting. Now, as Americans, we might not agree on everything, but I can confidently say we probably all agree on one thing. We love food. If you doubt that, consider this. Each year, Americans spend more money on fast food, not all food, just fast food. We spend more money on fast food than we do on movies, books, magazines, newspapers, videos, and music combined. So we might love to entertain ourselves, but we love to feed ourselves food even more. Now, this week, we are not going to only be talking about fast food, but we're going to dig in to what Jesus said about fasting from food. Now, let me play kind of my cards up front. At the end of this teaching, I'm going to invite all of us as a church, the entire church, to do a church-wide 21-day fast. And if you're a first-time visitor with us today, you're probably thinking, okay, I think I just discerned that God is not calling me to be part of this church, or at least not for 3 weeks, right? I would imagine that many of you might have a flood of questions that fill your mind. Like, why in the world would anyone fast for 21 straight days? And maybe other logistical questions like, well, what if I have medical issues that preclude me from fasting from food? And how's this fast even going to be structured? Now, we're going to walk through all of that. But before we do, let's turn to the why of fasting before we talk about the how of this fast. The question, the challenge of fasting asks us is this. It's clear that we as people, we love food, but is there anything we love more than food? Is it possible to hunger for something even more than our next meal? Well, we're going to consider all that, but before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you that you feed us not only with bread, but you feed us by your word. You feed our spirits and our souls and our minds and our heart. So as we come now, Lord, to your word, where Jesus speaks to us about fasting in his Sermon on the Mount, would you empower your word to encourage us, equip us, teach us, and build us up, and invite us to step into this opportunity to draw closer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus began his public ministry by saying in Matthew 4:17, repent of your sins. That means turn your heart, change your heart, and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Then he gave the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' explanation of what it looks like to have a change of heart and to begin to live as a kingdom-ready disciple. In the Sermon on the Mount, here's what Jesus says about this topic of fasting. In Matthew 6, verse 16 and on, he says, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so that people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice whether you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, notice here, Jesus doesn't say, if you fast. In the Bible, in fact, fasting refers to making a choice to abstain from food for a set period of time for spiritual purposes, to draw closer to God. Fasting is all through the Bible. It's practiced by all sorts of different people, both young and old, men and women, individuals alone, as well as groups, fasting together. The list of who engaged in fasting in the Bible includes people like Moses and Elijah and Hannah and David, the nation of Israel on multiple occasions, Esther and Ezra, Daniel, Paul, Anna, the local church in Antioch, and of course, Jesus himself fasted. So the first thing I want you to see is this, is that Jesus assumes that fasting will be a normal practice among his followers. This practice of fasting, it's not reserved for the Navy SEALs of Jesus. It's not reserved for some elite level of discipleship. This is for all of us who want to live as followers of Jesus and be kingdom-ready disciples. The second thing we see from the scriptures is this, is that fasting is to be focused on God first and foremost. So it's not just that we are to fast, it's also how we fast that matters. In fact, Jesus, as we just saw, instructs people not to fast in order to impress people. The motive is to know God the Father better. When we fast, we must search our hearts asking, who am I hoping will see this fast? It's the same thing with prayer, right? Jesus tells us to be careful that we don't pray in order to be seen by others. Now, does that mean that we should never pray in the presence of anyone else? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that we need to be aware of the motives of our heart. Now, there are group fasts, both in the Old as well as New Testament in the Bible, but the point was not for the group to make itself look good in the eyes of other people. The point was for the group together to choose to draw close to God as God. In fact, just prior to launching his public ministry and giving this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus fasted. In Matthew 4, verse 1, this is what we read. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is saying here that true life is not just about the bread, the material food that we eat. It's also about every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word feeds our souls and spirits in the same way that bread feeds our bodies. Now, at the end, I will explain our upcoming churchwide 21-day fast, but you might be wondering, well, what are we going to be fasting for? And here's the answer. We're fasting to draw nearer to God, that we might be one with him as Jesus prayed for his church. In John 17, he prayed and said, I pray that they will all be one, meaning all of his disciples, all of his followers, that we will all be one, just as you are, you and I are one, Father, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they also be in us, that the world will believe that you sent me. If God wants to reward us with anything beyond that, we will leave that up to God. One author I've read said it this way. He said, fasting must forever center on God. However easy it is to take something like fasting and try to use it to get God to do what we want. At times, there is such a stress on the blessings and benefits of fasting that we would be tempted to believe that with just a little fast, we could have the whole world, including God, eating out of our hands. Our fast is focused on God, to know Him and to be one with Him through Jesus Christ and one with each other as a result of that, just like Jesus prayed. Making knowing God the center and the reason for the fast does not mean, of course, that nothing else will happen. It just means that the most important thing that can happen is to know God more. Not just to know more about Him, but to know Him more. Now, when the topic of fasting arises, there's 1% of the people who will say, oh, I love to fast. I do it all the time. It's easy, and I've never found it to be hard at all. And we have a word for those people. We call those people liars, right? I'm just kidding. If you love to fast, don't get your feelings hurt. I'm just kidding. But now, here's the reality, that the other 99% of us respond to this topic of fasting more like this. I could never do that. I just love food too much. I love ice cream too much. I could never choose to put down the spoon. And we have a name for you who feel like that as well. I would say that the name for you is that you're normal, right? But even if you have never fasted, do a little kind of mental exercise with me because I want to convince you that you can do it. Let's say that you really love ice cream. And let's imagine you're at the world's best ice cream parlor of all time. And they have ice cream, not that light stuff. They have like Häagen-Dazs, full fat, full of flavor. They have every topping in the world, and you've just ordered all of your favorites, and they make it, and you sit with your ice cream sundae in front of you. You pick up the spoon. You're about to dig in, but just then, you feel the cold steel of a barrel of a gun at the back of your head. And a person says to you, if you don't put down that spoon right now, I am going to pull the trigger. Well, how would you respond? You know, you would respond like this. You would say, you know, I love ice cream, and I've never been very disciplined, maybe as a person, but I think I will now put down the spoon. Of course, you would put down the spoon. Why would you do that? Because true discipline doesn't just come from gritting your teeth and trying harder. True discipline comes from understanding the impact of your decisions. You'd put down the spoon not because you don't love ice cream any longer. You put down the spoon because you realize that there's something that is more important to you than your next bite of ice cream. The pastor John Wesley once commented and said this, "Some have exalted the practice of fasting beyond all scripture and reason, and others have utterly disregarded it." And at CA, we do not want to be a church that runs to either of those extremes, right? We want to live as the scriptures teach, that fasting is a normal practice for normal people who want to learn to set aside some distractions and love God and His Word even more than maybe we love food. When Jesus teaches on fasting, He commands us not just to act the part. In fact, that's what the word hypocrite literally means. It means you're just acting it, but your heart's not in it. But instead, for us to fast from purer motives. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Now, why is it that we mainly tend to abandon the last of these three practices that Jesus speaks about? I'll tell you why I want to leave it off, because fasting is hard and I love food. Plus, the cultural narrative is that the best version of our life is found by never denying ourselves what we want when we want it. But let's just pause for a moment. Is that actually true? Just think about that message for a minute. Isn't it possible that something can make you happy in the moment, but will then later cost you peace and joy? Well, Tom, the other day, it made me feel good. I just let my tongue go, and I absolutely shredded that person on social media. And yes, for a moment, that might make you feel good. But if you never deny yourself when you want to shred someone, you will slowly find a darkness and a bitter anger invading your soul. Some of us might need to take this 21 days of fasting, and maybe we need to fast from social media. Or conversely, isn't it possible that something that requires discipline now will create joy and peace after it's finished? I don't know about you, but that's kind of how physical exercise is for me. If I wait to exercise and I only do it whenever my body feels like it, then honestly, I will never exercise my body. It's the same thing with my spirit and my soul. If I wait to exercise my spirit and my soul only when I feel like it, then I'm never going to do it. Fasting is like taking your soul out for a jog in some fresh, clean mountain air. I might not love it while I'm doing it, but I always feel better afterwards. Anyone here ever kind of feel like you need to take your soul for a jog? Maybe you feel like you want to be in fewer arguments these days. Part of that can happen by simply maybe having a little bit less physical energy if you fast from food. But part of it is fasting also humbles us. And when we humble ourselves, we realize that many of our arguments, at least some of our arguments, are rooted in pride. It's hard to be arrogant when you are remembering that you are dust. When I fast, and immediately afterwards, I notice that my gratitude grows. Before I fast, I might take something like a banana for granted, and I might kind of think, well, who cares? It's just a dumb old banana. But after I break the fast, even something like a banana becomes a source of gratitude and joy in my life. Because fasting breaks my entitled attitude, and it infuses even the most mundane parts of my life with greater joy and greater gratitude from everyday blessings that otherwise I just take for granted. The third thing I want us to see is this, is that fasting has a unique power to reveal our hearts so we can bring them truly to God. It's easy to think, well, I'm a good person. My heart is filled with sugar and spice and everything nice until you fast. How can we reject things that want to control us in our heart when we don't even realize that they're in our hearts? When it comes to the condition of our heart, it's easy to be in self-denial about what's lingering in your heart until you decide to deny yourself. But when we fast, if there is anger or fear or laziness or bitterness in our hearts, it will come racing to the surface. And then we will tell ourselves that we only feel those things because of our hunger. And part of that might be true, but if we are honest and we continue to fast, it is possible to be humble and see that part of the reason we feel those things is not just because of our blood sugar, but because they're in us. They're in our hearts. Our hunger doesn't simply create the condition of our heart. It exposes the condition of our heart. And you'll realize that there are some things that have been there all along, and I've just been using food or social media or whatever else to medicate my pains and cover up my sins, which is often why it's so easy to give in the temptation to eat poorly or be on social media just scrolling through when you feel sad or depressed or frustrated or bitter or scared. And I know many of us have felt the wide range of those feelings in this season. I don't just let food be food in those moments. I want food to become or even social media to become a kind of savior for me. I try to use food to do what God alone can ultimately do. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says it this way. He says, "For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And that's from Philippians 4. Paul is saying it's possible to learn how to live life without being controlled by our circumstances or our moods or our stomachs. If we are humbled to learn how to access the strength Christ desires to give us. So how do we get to the point that we believe that God is calling us as a church to a 21-day church-wide fast? Well, I ran this by our management team and many of our other pastors, and we all prayed, felt like this would be a great idea. Now, we knew that Jesus taught on fasting, and we also knew that if Jesus taught on it and we're in the Sermon on the Mount, then we might as well not just hear his words, but actually do them. But the second reason why is that as we talked and prayed with some of the pastoral management team, we believe that fasting as a church will help us just stay focused on God in the midst of all of the other issues swirling around us in these days. And that's why we chose to teach Jesus' words on fasting now, earlier in the series, than kind of later on when it would have naturally fallen within the sequence of the Sermon on the Mount. The third reason why is this. We chose 21 days because we felt like it's long enough for us to really slow down and fast. Now, how you choose to fast is between you and the Lord. And I encourage you, like Jesus taught, you don't need to tell others how you choose to participate in this. There are a lot of different ways that you can choose to fast in these 21 days. Let me give you some examples. One way is a selective fast. This would be that you choose a certain kind of food that you decide to fast from or exclude from your diet for 21 days. For example, in the Bible, Daniel fasted for 21 days from meat and from wine. So he didn't eat meat or wine for 21 days. So that was a form of fasting. Another way is what's called intermittent fasting. Maybe you would choose a certain time period each day to abstain from food. And you might choose, for example, to fast from lunch each day for 21 days. Or maybe you'll choose to fast from food for a set period of time, from maybe 9 o'clock at night until noon the following day, which effectively you would be fasting from any late night snacks and breakfast each morning. The other type of fast is what's called a complete fast, which means in this type of fast, you would drink only liquids, typically water, or maybe light juices as an option. And you should not do this kind of fast for 21 days unless you've built up extensive previous experience with fasting, and you would only do that under the guidance of a doctor. The other way you could do is what's been called a soul fast. This is the kind of fast that is a great option if maybe you have health issues that prevent you from fasting from food or even certain kinds of food. It can be something that you need to fast from that you're giving too much time to, or maybe something that's controlling your life too much. For example, you might choose to stop using all social media for 21 days, or you might choose to stop watching television for 21 days. Or maybe you choose for 21 days that you're not going to get into an argument with anybody. Then you would carefully maybe bring that element back into your life. So you would bring it back in at healthy doses, maybe re-engaging with social media after 21 days. But you're not going to go all in and be on it 24 hours a day. You're just going to do it in a more limited fashion as you kind of work into a more healthy rhythm. Also, the point is not just to abstain from food or social media or TV, but to use that time to draw near to the Lord in increased ways. Less time in preparing and eating food, or less time on TV or social media, creates more time for you to use to pray or to worship or to read God's word or to simply rest in His presence. Now, on our website, we have provided some helpful resources to guide you. And you might be wondering, when will the 21 days begin? Well, we want to give you a few days to pray and decide how you individually will participate in the 21 days. So we will begin the 21 days on Wednesday, September 16th, and we will conclude at the end of the day on Tuesday, October 6th. For all of our men, our men's gathering is actually going to be on September 16th. So we will begin by fasting that day, and we'll also have a time of prayer. And of course, our women's Bible study groups have already kicked off as well. Let me close with this. Here's the call of action. The call to action is this. I want you to jump on the website, and you'll see the page that you can go to on the bottom of the screen, and review the fasting document and prayer guide that we have created from the website. And then I want you to decide between you and the Lord if and how you're going to fast over these 21 days. You could choose different ways. It might be that you abstain from a certain type of food. You might abstain from a certain meal each day. Maybe you've got health reasons or other reasons that prevent you from doing food. So you might choose to abstain from social media or television or anything else that is controlling your life. And instead, don't just abstain from something, but devote that time to increase time of personal times in God's Word and prayer in the worship of God. In fact, we're going to provide a little prayer guide for you on that document to help you have some ideas of what to be praying about. The question and the challenge that fasting asks us is this. We all know that we love food, but is there anything that we love more than food? Is it possible to hunger for something even more than our next meal? Is it possible that people, as Jesus has said, do not just live by bread alone, but that we live from every word that comes from the mouth of God? We believe that's true as a church because that's what Jesus has taught us. And so we want to invite you, and we believe, the pastors believe, that God is calling us as a congregation at this time to do a 21-day fast. And we humbly encourage each one of you to join us as we obey God together in that call in whatever form you choose to participate in. Fasting is to be a normal practice of the community of Jesus. It is first and foremost to be focused on God, to know Him more and draw nearer to Him. It has a unique power to reveal the contents of our heart so that we can bring those to God. And fasting often paves the way for a deeper humility and love and unity amongst the followers of Jesus. May it be so among us here at CA, and may it be so through us into the city and the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. So excited for how God is going to help us draw nearer to Him as we do this church-wide fast together. I'm excited to hear all the ways that God is going to use this in our lives individually, but also together as a congregation.
Let us pray, let us pray. Pray by faith in Jesus' name. As His Spirit gives us faith, let us pray. In our triumph and our pain, oh, in our loss and in all our gain, let His glory be proclaimed, let us pray. By faith in Jesus' name, as His Spirit gives us aid, let us pray. In our triumph, in our pain, in our loss and in our gain, let His glory be proclaimed, let us pray. We'll
keep on knocking. We'll keep on asking. We'll keep believing and interceding. We'll keep on bowing. Oh Lord, we're pleading. We will pray. We will pray. We will pray. Yes. We'll keep on knocking. We'll keep on asking. We'll keep believing and interceding. We'll keep on bowing. Oh Lord, we're pleading. We will pray, we will pray, we will pray. Sing that with me, say, we will pray, we will pray, we will pray. Spirit gives us saying, let us pray. In our triumph, in our pain, in our loss and in our gain, let His glory be proclaimed. Let us pray. In our triumph, in our triumph, in our pain, in our loss and in our gain, let His glory be proclaimed. Let His glory be proclaimed. Let us pray.
Well, we want to thank you once again for being online with us and watching our services. And I especially want to congratulate anybody who made a first-time decision for Christ. If that's you, thank you so much for doing that. We're praying for you. We're excited with you. And we would love to hear about that so that we can follow up with you. We can pray with you. You can let us know that you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during this service by emailing us. You can email us at the email address that's on your screen, or you can simply text the word decision to the number 52855. One of our pastors is going to call you just to congratulate you and pray with you. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media apps and on our Christian Assembly app to stay in the know with all great things happening around Christian Assembly. And now let me close us with this benediction. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And that comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. May God be with you this week. Friends, we will see you next week.